Welcome to Notcast, episode 350. For real this time. Men yelling indistinctly. I'm Saverin.
I'm Shiva.
I'm Fuzzwolf.
And we are Notcast. So, it has been another week. Shiva's here for two in a row, yay!
I know, we're going for a record.
Yeah, it's good to have you back, though, because there's topics that we can further discuss the input of actual women. Yay!
Tits and vagina and everything.
Yeah, well, you know, even if we had trans words, that'd be fine, too. But it's one of those things that there's been discussions where, man, Shiva's input would be really good. And now you're here, so you can have those conversations.
But while you're talking, Saverin and I will be muttering indistinctly into the microphone.
Yeah. You know, God, it's just been this. It's just been these. You and I, and now we're including a woman again after like 3 months. God, this is just going down the tubes, right? Isn't this awful?
Just terrible.
It's like we're fucking having a screening for Wonder Woman a week after a thing that's only allowing women. God.
No, it's... You got it wrong. The screening for only women is actually a week before the official release date, and then all copies of the film will be destroyed. You will never get to see it if you're a man.
Oh. What's a damn shame, because Gal Gadot looks really cool.
Yeah,
Siam's. And Kevin Smith said it was good.
Yeah, Siam's waiting for us to... We're probably going to go see it next weekend sometime.
Yeah. So, to actually bring up the thing we're actually discussing, Alamo Drafthouse in New York City is doing a... was doing a single showing a week after the movie comes out for women only, which is totally fine.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have all female staff, women only, women, female identified only people in the audience for a screening of a movie well after its release of a, apparently, I'm speaking a little bit from ignorance here, a character who's been a feminist icon for a very, very long time.
Mm-hmm.
So, internet, of course, can't have that.
Because not allowed to have a showing after the release date.
But what about the men? Christ. And like people, and I have to say though, that Alamo Drafthouse has really handled it well. They're really laying on the sarcasm. And even the title of this episode comes from them, their social media, where it's like they've been responding back and forth with folks, and then they just posted a picture of Furiosa from Mad Max Fury Road of her kind of looking out of her car window, kind of disgusted with the subtitle, men indistinctly yelling. Men yelling indistinctly. I mean, Wonder Woman looks pretty cool. World War One setting and, like, her entering the world of man, as mm-hmm. she puts it. I mean, it's an origin story film.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also, apparently... So, actually, I did some further reading on this today because there was a couple articles, right? It's the first... female-directed superhero film.
Mm,
really?
Yeah.
Huh.
And, like, the eighth in the last 20 or so years, no, or longer, female character-driven superhero film, which hopefully ends up faring better than, say, Tank Girl or Elektra or Catwoman with Halle Berry mm-hmm. or Barb Wire.
Supergirl, I think, was one of them, too.
She hasn't had a movie, though. She's a TV show.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I think the stat was, like, there's been 130 superhero films in this intervening time, and only 8 of them have female leads.
Mm.
This is non-inclusive of ensemble films, because, like, yeah. Really.
Yeah.
Look at Avengers and say that, oh, yeah, Black Widow has a, you know, she's an important character, but she's not the lead. Oh, yeah.
It's a picture of Jeff Goldblum from Jurassic Park, and there's another scene where Sam is, like, leaning and listening to, like, one of the dinosaurs breathe.
I'd see that one.
So they spliced him leaning on Jeff Goldblum's chest as it heaves.
I've also seen, I think I've seen another one where it's Jeff Goldblum leaning on Jeff Goldblum's chest.
Mm-hmm. Life finds a way.
Yes.
So what do you think
I think that was actually the comment on the tweet.
Nice. So are you looking forward to Wonder Woman, Shiva?
I think so. I mean, I liked the Batman reboots in that kind of vein. I did not like Batman versus Superman at all.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was so fucking boring. I just
was told to
spit.
Avoid it.
I tried. I sat down and I watched it because, you know, it can't be that. I turned it off and I walked away because I was so fucking bored. So I'm hoping it's better than Batman versus Superman. And I'm hoping... Mm-hmm. I've got high hopes. It's mostly that particular line of DC movies have been... Some have been better than others.
Yeah, and that's what sucks is that DC has pretty good characters, but their movies have all been really bad. But they've had the best cartoons forever.
Yes, they do have really good cartoons.
And Injustice 2 specifically is a really neat alt-universe video game.
Mm-hmm.
I actually sat and watched the, like, 4 hours or so of the story mode being played. One of those, Maximilian Dude, did the story modes, which are always just very, very wild. This is because Injustice is like this alternate world, alternate reality where basically Superman snaps and says, fuck it, I'm going to rule the world, I'm going to stop all crime and just murder criminals. And that universe's Batman is like, you really shouldn't do that. And fighting ensues. And it's one of those things where actually Wonder Woman in that game is actually kind of the lead villain. Because she's the one that kind of made Clark snap. And, yeah. So I was like, yeah, she's not a good character, as in like she is a bad person in Injustice 2. And, like, I hope that the movie is good and makes her into the heroic character she is, mm-hmm. as opposed to the alt-universe, this is the second game in the series, and the Injustice comic book line has been going for, like, 5 fucking years, so it's super convoluted as who is friends with what.
Mm.
Like, Batman's son, Damian Wayne, is a bad character, but Harley Quinn is Batman's bestie, and Joker's fucking dead, and Cyborg is bad, but Firestorm is good, and...
Firestorm always good?
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's also cool because it draws upon the design scene in, like, Arrow.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Firestorm Matrix thing. Have you seen Arrow?
No, I've seen Legends of Tomorrow, though.
Okay, but you've seen Firestorm, and he has a little Firestorm Matrix thing. Like, they draw...
I've seen Firestorm. I don't remember his whole outfit.
No. Basically, they draw straight from it, and...
Cool.
Like...
Because I like Firestorm in Legends of Tomorrow. He's the main character in that.
Yeah. And so, too, in the game, he's fairly important... And it is, again, the two dudes that fuse together to form Firestorm.
Yeah.
I thought that was cool. Like,
so is it Martin and Jefferson? Because I think they've changed up who those people are over the years in the comics. But in the show, it's Martin and Jefferson.
I'm not sure if they name them, but it is, like, Black Athlete Guy and White Professor Dude.
Okay.
Kind of so, like it is in Flash, which yeah. I enjoy. And Flash has, like... a show accurate costume variant, and
yeah,
like there's a ton of fan service for the people that actually watch the shows mm-hmm. and the cartoons and all that other stuff. So it's a really cool game, but if I was gonna play it, I'd have to play it on like PS4.
She's really cool in Legends of Tomorrow, and they're like slap hands together, and there's this swirl, and whoosh, suddenly Firestorm is
yeah. They do that transformation sequence in the game as well, so it's cool that DC can make good TV shows and good cartoons and good games, but they can't fucking make a 2-hour movie to save their lives. And I hope that Wonder Woman changes that. I just want it to be good.
I've seen people commenting online that it's good.
Yeah, like so. Kevin Smith said it was good. I've seen people saying it's good. There's no tomato meter thing, but I'll probably end up going and seeing it anyway.
So, I don't believe Saverin has, but have you seen Guardians 2?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay,
oh, yeah.
Cool.
I'm behind.
I loved it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it also. Have either of you seen Logan?
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
That's coming out on Blu-ray, isn't it?
My copy arrived on Tuesday.
Oh, nice.
And Amazon sent me an email to let me know that I had saved 3 cents from the pre-order price.
Hot damn.
I could start that retirement fund now.
Yeah.
But what's cool is the Logan Blu-ray, which includes the DVD and the digital copy, also has the special version they made called Logan Noir. which is a black and white version of the, film.
Oh, how cool.
And, like, so I watched a little bit of that just to kind of see what it was like. And it wasn't just they went in and removed the color. Like, apparently they did certain things with the palette and stuff like that to, like, make it look more like a noir film, not just, like, a straight up black and white. So it's like I was thinking I might try to watch the whole version sometime, but yeah, you should come over sometime, Howard.
Yeah, we should totally catch up on it because I've seen several films at your place that I have not had the chance to see. We saw The Big Hit, which is a cinematic masterpiece, but also Doctor Strange,
right? Yeah,
which was good.
Yeah. I love Doctor Strange.
Doctor Strange was really good. Yeah.
Also, and other cool shit. So. Neither one of y'all are basically into Castlevania, I don't think.
Mm-mm.
No.
No.
Okay. No, but Sarah said he saw a really good trailer.
So, yeah.
I saw people Netflix talking about this. Netflix is doing
a Castlevania animated series.
Okay.
That looks like the same studio that did...
It's a video game.
It's a video game series that's been going since the NES era.
Yeah.
And has a very long pedigree and hasn't ever really had any... It's had multiple... Like, even had, like, a fighting game, and it's got Pachi slots and this, that, and the other. It's really weird to see Konami making animation and stuff now.
Mm-hmm.
Or giving the license out to somebody to make it.
Right.
It looks like it's done by the same studio that is doing Voltron.
Which is decent. Who also did
Korra and Avatar. So, like, it's a good studio that can put out good shows. But, yeah, they did this really sweet promo. I think it came out yesterday that... It's coming out July 7th, and it's a full-on series of Castlevania, the animated series. It's like, whoa.
Nice.
That looks really cool. I mean, I've played Castlevania since the original, but there hasn't been a lot of games in the recent past. So yeah. It's one of those things where to see it pop up as a Netflix series is weird, but totally cool.
I wonder if you have to be familiar with the lore of the games.
Probably not. I mean, it's basically... Dude whips the shit out of vampires and zombies and shit.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, basically, the Castlevania game is the guy's a vampire hunter in, like, 1400s Europe.
Okay.
So he's going around whipping the shit out of monsters and vampires.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it's set in Transylvania, and it will probably have some historical liberties made. It'll probably be set in
Van Helsing in it? Played by hot Hugh Jackman werewolf.
Yep, that would be that'd be hot. But actually, I don't think werewolves have ever really figured into the game.
I thought that they did.
It's time they started.
The main character needs to be a werewolf, and he just it's like I am this sexy blonde man in the opening, and then I'm a werewolf for the rest of the game. I mean, show.
Boop! I'm a werewolf.
Yep. Also, My Little Pony got extended for an 8th season.
I thought that happened a while back.
Well, got it confirmed.
Versus rumors.
Yeah.
Okay.
It got legit confirmed at a licensing expo, and everybody still on the ride goes...
So what season just aired?
It's still in 7. They've aired up to, I think, episode 11 of 26.
Oh, okay. I thought it was still on, like, season 5 or 6 that they were, like, projecting it out.
No, this is season 7, and I've only watched... 4 episodes this season. I've just been busy and or haven't cared enough to really look it up. There's a really good episode with Celestia and Luna as the main characters, which they have needed to do for the last 6 years or so. But it's one of those things like, still going to get another 26 episodes. One more season and we'll get to episode 200. It's like, we're going to SpongeBob this shit. I think they're going to SpongeBob this shit.
What do you mean by SpongeBob this shit?
SpongeBob has been going for approximately a billion years. And
is it still going?
Episodes. I'm pretty sure SpongeBob is still going. Like, it is an eternal show. But I'm going to...
Mm-hmm.
I should Google that. Because I'm pretty sure SpongeBob is still going. Because it's, you know, Nickelodeon makes it pretty cheap. SpongeBob SquarePants. It has... Oh, wait, did it actually end in 2016? It has 10 seasons. SpongeBob SquarePants. Let's look this up. Yes, this is excellent radio. Further, let's see, what else? So here's a pro tip, dudes. This is something that you can have input on, Shiva.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a dude and a lady friend of yours is like, hey, I'm going to have breast reduction surgery because my back is really killing me. My doctor says I really have to have it done or I'm going to have permanent damage. Do not say, as your friend, you should totally do that. Being a teenager is an adventure. There are many challenges. But as a dude, please don't.
Yeah. Sorry, you linked this naked mole rat thing. And yeah.
I'm sorry, autoplay ads are fucking evil.
No, it wasn't that. I clicked it because I thought maybe my phone, since it's on silent and do not disturb, the sound would not be on. But I'm still getting used to the new interface. So going to
SpongeBob, Nickelodeon has renewed it for season 12. SpongeBob is confirmed to run through at least 2019, its 20th anniversary year.
Jesus SpongeBob fucking Christ.
Is still going.
Wow.
I'm sure we are all very surprised here. But yeah. So, boobs, Shiva, as a person who owns boobs, how would you feel if somebody who ostensibly was your acquaintance told you this?
If it was a friend, I'd kind of eye roll and go, whatever, but really depends on what. But I know the relationships that these two people have, and it was not appropriate. This is basically a business relationship between these two entities. No one who has a business relationship with anyone should ever say anything about their anatomy or, you know.
Or just be like, hey, could you please continue living in pain for my benefit?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, but my dick will be less tingly if you get to have smaller boobs. Never mind the fact that it's going to save your spine from exploding. I imagine that's what would happen. Just like too much stress and just pops out. This looks horrifying. Just like in Mortal Kombat.
Oh, actually, I was thinking just like in Alien Covenant. You know, park the trailer and the alien starts bursting through the guy's back.
Nice.
I don't know why you would even remotely think that that was okay to say to somebody.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe you're thinking inside and, okay, it's probably not the best thought. But you had the wherewithal to open your mouth, or at least your Twitter, and say this to another human being, especially one you've got a business relationship, and you don't see an issue with this?
And it doesn't help either that, like, this person had already had a bad time at one other convention earlier this year and is already kind of gun-shy. So it's like, dude, please don't do this.
Here's a chance for yet again the fandom to open up their mouth.
And swallow their feet.
And prove that they are shitty human beings, especially someone farther up the food chain.
Yeah.
Who should fucking know better.
They swallowed all four hooves.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, it is totally a power imbalance thing, too, because, you know, it's one thing if it's random internet person being like, nice tits, lol, you can just, you know, shake that shit off. But if somebody higher up in a convention, especially someone involved possibly in guest acquisition, is making those comments, you're like, is this person going to want to invite me? Am I going to want to have to deal with this person IRL? Is this person going to assume that if I do come that he can continue making these comments at me? Like,
yeah, I mean,
it's impressive how dumb that is.
Why would you? I just can't think of what's going through your brain. I mean, it's
like, you're an adult. You have, I assume, worked jobs where you have to take sexual harassment seminars, like how not to do it. It's like, this is how you don't interact at the job. This is how you manage to not keep your job if you do this. Oh, Fuzz, have you seen this, or Shiva, y'all see the Star Trek Discovery?
I started watching it, but I was at work, so I couldn't watch the rest of it.
I did watch the trailer.
I've seen the trailer.
But what I clipped through is like, yeah, I'll end up watching it.
It looks pretty sweet.
Yeah, if I figure out a way to watch it, without paying for another fucking monthly video service use for one damn show. I mean, right now I'm not watching American Gods because I don't have Stars. So my theory on American Gods is I'm going to wait for the season to end, and then I'll probably buy it on iTunes.
Yeah,
you know, and if this, I mean, the same thing might happen to Star Trek Discovery. So I guess I'll just have to try and avoid spoilers for 20 weeks while it's airing, or however many episodes it gets.
With Amazon, right?
Uh-huh.
Amazon, I think I've griped about this in the past, their anime strike double paywall bullshit.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you have to be a Prime member first, and then there's, like, another...
$5 a month.
What? Yeah.
And the thing is, what sucks, it isn't like And it's week to week. It's not Netflix style. It's like Crunchyroll, where it's week to week, and you get all your shows in a season added in, whatever, one at a time. So you have to end up paying at least $15 for a season to watch a show all the way through. Now, obviously, you get the rest of the shows, but if you're wanting to watch, like, two or three different things, you're paying, like, $5 to watch this show.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I guess that's fair, but it sucks because, like, if I'm already paying for Crunchyroll,
mm-hmm.
and there's Crunchyroll, there's Anime Network, there's Funimation, now there's Anime Strike, Anime Channel. Like, there's a number of different places that's splitting out the market of streaming anime. And it's like, yo, I'm already paying this much
for I know Crunchyroll's a subscription, right?
Uh-huh.
It's like Netflix,
so but for is anime. There another tier to watch a specific show, or what do you mean?
No, I'm paying my like, $12 a month or whatever, because I get the full package. I can read manga on my
phone.
The
other thing he's talking about is through Amazon.
Oh.
Yeah, Anime Strike is Amazon anime. Like, two mm-hmm. seasons back, they got Cabinary of the Iron Fortress, which was their first foray into getting current anime shows, and it did gangbusters because it was a pretty sweet show with a neat steampunk industrial age aesthetic, also while fighting like iron zombies and shit. It was pretty sweet, but they saw this was really good, so we're going to get more anime but put it behind a paywall, which has slaughtered people watching the show, because most people aren't willing to pay another $5 a month for another streaming thing.
Because
I'm paying X amount for Crunchy, I'm paying $6 a month for Funimation.
And this is, you're paying $100 for Prime a year, but then they're also asking the additional $5 for their anime section.
Yeah, and it's $60 a year. You know, that's like paying for Xbox Live Gold
mm-hmm.
or PlayStation Now. It's like, come on, guys. Christ, there's only so much money to go around.
Yeah.
And it just, and what's also further sucks, even if I wanted to, because so few people are watching, like, Amazon's video quality ain't the best, their subs suck, and as a result, nobody's even pirating these shows.
Yeah, they've got Amazon Prime, wait, their streaming quality sucks, go try and find it someplace else, because even if I can watch it legitimately off Amazon, it fucking sucks.
Yeah. When Panther and I started watching
The Expanse,
we were like, watched the first couple episodes, said, this is fucking cool, and then bought it on iTunes because streaming it off my iMac through the Apple TV was just bad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even at max resolution, it didn't look great. So
yeah, and their interface is just it's kind of shitty. Yeah.
And what sucks is you can't control it because it's being cast from my computer in here, and in the front room we have the projector, so if we wanted to pause it or whatever, we'd have to walk in the other room.
So what I was doing was I had the Amazon app on my iPad, I think, uh-huh. and I was airplaying to my Apple TV with the iPad, and I would pause the iPad.
Our iPad is a Gen 1 one, so it's way too old.
Yeah, I guess it probably would be at this point.
We have to get a new one, but still.
Well, our TV in the living room has, like, it's a Samsung Smart TV, so it has a whole bunch of apps built in.
Ah.
Plex, it's got, you know, Netflix, it's got a whole bunch of other ones that you can, and I've got a Roku for the back bedroom. So. Yeah.
It's just one of those things where media fragmentation is getting bad. Because, yeah, my dad really, really wants to see American Gods.
Yeah.
And he can't right now. And I'm not going to be able to see Star Trek Discovery legally. I can't watch a number of animes that I'm interested in legally right now. Though it's one of those things that if the next season they add in they grab up a bunch of shows, I'll probably end up having to be like, oh, fuck, fine. And just pay the $5 a month and cut back on Crunchyroll's sub level.
Which is probably what they intend.
Yeah. But it sucks because their show quality sucks relative to Crunchyroll's, which isn't even the best.
My niece is getting into anime and manga. I was debating buying her a Crunchyroll sub.
You can get the basic-ass anime-only stuff, and they have a lot of really good shows.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Crunchyroll is one of the best. Like,
wait, did you do something other than anime on Crunchyroll?
Manga.
They have anime, manga, and they also have live-action drama. They have actual, like, drama shows.
From Japan,
and they also have the
Kamen
Rider, a K-drama, they've got J-drama, they've got
How do you do the manga if you have the app on your phone?
Yeah, or you can read it on the website.
Oh, okay, cool.
And they have, like, the Power Rangers or Kamen Rider shows.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a wide variety of programming from Japan, not just anime.
Okay.
I have the top tier sub that lets me watch all of it, because I occasionally I'll watch Kamen Rider and shit,
because
it's stupid fun. And, but like, you can get a basic-ass one, I think it's like $7 a month for anime only. And I think they have all of Cardcaptor Sakura now. Like, I know they've added a couple of classic series recently. Anyways, anime. On good news, also finally getting some progress with my car.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, my car tag's coming up at the end of May, and I was like, son of a bitch. So, my alignment had been really fucked, and I've been going back and forth with my insurance company because they've having me go back and forth with the person who hit me's insurance company. They initially had denied liability because the woman who struck my car claimed someone else had hit hers, but they contacted me basically saying, we've reopened the investigation, and requested me to fill out a statement for them. And I just forwarded them when I had sent my insurance agent back in fucking February.
Yeah.
And they were like, this will be extremely helpful. Thank you. And then I got a check from my insurance company to the tune of like $3,200 to get the repairs going. And any further repairs will be a negotiation between the insurance company and the car repair place.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to drop about $500 to get my car up to passing state inspection. Apparently, Texas's system is extremely lax, despite the fact that my passenger side mirror is literally taped on and the passenger side door doesn't open. It passed state inspection, and I'll have a legal sticker. So,
from what I understand, it mostly has to do with emissions and shit like that.
They don't give a fuck. Like, does the engine smoke? No? All right, you're fine. It's put together with that fucking tape from the infomercials where the guy saws a boat in half and then tapes it back together and takes it out in the lake. As long as it's working and your engine's not smoking.
We've seen that commercial at Pizzarella.
Yes. So I got the notification that they're mailing my sticker out, and I should have it before end of month, so I will have this
my
weird...
My car passed inspection, too. Woo, sticker buddy.
Well, so do you mine have was to a get bigger concern.
The Gulf repaired, or can you take the money in?
I have to get the bunny repaired.
Oh.
I have to get the bunny repaired, I said, yes. Mm-hmm. It sucks, but it's still going to be cheaper in the long term.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have... Our car insurance has a renter's, like, they cover $20 a day on a rental. So if I get, like, a little $25 a day roller skate car or whatever, it's minimal out of pocket for us. And then also they're like, I tweeted about it and actually had a conversation with Liberty Mutual, customer care agent over DMs on Twitter, because I was like, our insurance doesn't, I'm very confused. And basically, they cover $20 a day to start for a max 30 days while the car is under repair. And if I'm not at fault, they will recover and reimburse from the other insurance company. So basically, the reason this has taken so fucking long is that the other insurance company was going, nuh-uh, for months.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it would be pretty obvious if she had been hit by the behind, if her back end was, like, damaged.
Yeah. It's a Toyota. They're made of fucking plastic. But the insurance company doesn't want to pay out. Well, guess
what? Yeah, because they're liable for two cars.
Yeah.
Three if she wants to get her car fixed.
Yeah, because she murdered that little Mini. Its rear axle was broken.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she hit that thing real hard.
And well, it must have been, like, hit it to make it hit your car as bad as your car was hit.
Yeah, like... She was going full tilt, and if I had been the only vehicle struck, I would have been plowed into the car ahead of me really hard.
Yeah.
Like, I'm lucky that she hit the other dude first, and everyone was okay. Like, ultimately, the human life matters most, but she murdered that dude, Mini, and he was like, man, my wife is going to be so mad. And I was like, yo.
You didn't do anything.
You're okay. You're alive. She'll be happy about that. Still, it's just been this fucking nightmare. And because it was just insurance companies dragging their heels, but I've sent everything. I did the smart thing. I have a fucking camera and supercomputer in my pocket. So I was like, click, 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 taking photos.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the fun thing of me last week.
Oh, yeah. What about you, Shiva?
So last Saturday, I was getting kind of stir crazy because it was my third day off and I wanted to go do something. So me and Sarah ended up bouncing around Dallas to the various smoke shops looking for what, you know, what hookah stuff that each carries. Mm-hmm. A lot of them were standard, cheap-ass shit. I mean, just the standard, like, social smoke pipes or cheap Chinese shit. Mm-hmm. Found a couple good sources for some of the alternative shisha, but none of the brands I really was after. Mm-hmm. So, but there were two interesting places I stopped. Down by Jasmine's, across the way, mm-hmm. there's a little shop called Star Pipes.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you stuck your nose in there?
No, I've seen it.
Do it. Mm-hmm. Because it is like this dusty bazaar of hookahs. Like, I walked in and there's just like hookahs lining every square inch the entire way. They're piled on shelves.
The building is made of them. I can't tell you that.
Well, it's the floor up the is roof. Very. Have you ever been in like one of those old junk shops where there's you got a combination of crap, but you got there's some really legit stuff mixed in, but something's a little bit dusty. It's a little bit run down, but there's shit on the shelf that's been there forever.
Yeah, been to an antique mall in the past. So.
Similar idea, but yeah. All he's got is a whole bunch of hookah shit.
Yeah, yeah.
And stick your nose in there, and he's got some really neat stuff in there. Mm. But it's not like you go to most head shops, and it's all kind of brightly lit and clean and everything. There's like little, you know, they didn't have any of the other stuff. Like, we're not talking about any glass or pot or anything else like that. It's just hookahs all the way down. Mm-hmm. So I go in there, and there's a couple things that I recognized a couple of the pipes because I've been looking for one. This is like, and he's very much from the Middle East, so he starts haggling for me. Uh-huh. But I wasn't looking to pick up something. I was just looking for a source that day. Yeah. I did end up picking up a wind cover, one of those shiny metal tubes. Mm-hmm. And I picked up a coal carrier, but I didn't buy a hookah. Mm-hmm. But it's like, this will be a place I'm going to have to stick my nose in more often just to see what he's got.
Yeah.
But yeah, very much willing to haggle and wheel and deal on all that. So he was interesting. We also went down to a place in almost downtown Dallas down by Love Field called Hookah District. And it's a smoke shop, so it had all the usual smoke shop shit. What it also had was really high-end hookahs. Neat. Actual, legit, like, these are top-end brands that I've been looking at online. They have them. They also have them for about double the price I'd buy online. Some of the ones I looked at were usually about $120, $150 online. They wanted $300 for them.
Wow.
But I still got to lay eyes on and actually pick up a couple of models I'd been considering. You know, it's like, wow, these are really solid, and they're actually more pretty in person than the pictures online.
Oh, good.
So after that, we went out to a hookah bar in Irving that's right by where I work. I had stuck my nose in there the other day but didn't really have time to do anything, so we went out there. It's not as nice as Jasmine's, but it is very air-conditioned. They keep it very chilly in there, which is nice in Dallas in the summertime.
Right.
And unlike Jasmine's,
it's going to suck in the winter, though.
Jasmine's is not BYOB because they are a Muslim establishment.
Right.
And they will, I've seen them shuck people out of there that did bring their own, like, you know, their own drinks.
Yeah.
This place is not that philosophical because I saw, it is bring BYOB, but I'm talking about they were bringing out, like, containers of Coke and ice, and people are opening up bottles of Crown to make Crown and Coke. So it's not just beer and wine. People are out, like, bringing liquor to this. But they do have better hookahs than Jasmine's, as in they actually have Cali Mamoons, and they've got, you know how Jasmine's got kind of cheap lately, and they have those little disposable hoses?
Yeah, yeah.
These guys have actually better actual quality hoses, and including some of the ones that are basically made out of surgical tubing.
Mm-hmm.
So nice, big, deep, clean draw. on them. I like the pipes that they had there very much.
This is out in Irving?
Yep. Mm. We can go out sometime. I wouldn't mind.
I was going to say, I just like smoking on your back patio.
Yeah.
I mean, well, like, you've got a nice patio.
It's partially to try other equipment. It's partially to try other flavors that I don't keep in stock.
That shit you had last time when we were supposed to record but didn't was really, really good.
Yeah.
I like it very much. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tangier's cane mint.
Nice.
So it's late. I got to work the next morning. I'm going to be up a little bit late. Oh, well. So we start driving back. It's about 12:30 at night because hookah bars are up late.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we're almost home. We're about two lights before the major turn. And we come up behind someone. Light turns green. Car kind of starts moving, as in 5 miles per hour. Maybe picks up to 7. It's under 10. And it crawls through the intersection. We get to the other side, and of course, now everybody is blowing past us. The people behind us are swinging out. And so we couldn't pull out because everybody was passing us. We finally get a chance to do, and as we do, they follow our headlights. So they swerve into the other lane, and then they bounce off the curb on the other side. And then, you know, it's like, holy shit, they're going slow because it's a fucking drunk driver, and not just a little drunk, fucking awful.
Oh.
So we're like, oh shit. That they're really bad. Don't go past them. Stay behind them. It's safe behind them. Because come to a stop and bump into us, or because they're in the lane we need to be in to turn.
Right.
And we're wondering what the fuck we do because they are really fucking drunk.
Mm-hmm.
We get caught and scraped off another stoplight, but they're going so fucking slow. By the time it turns green, they're still in sight. And we watch them turn into, wait, they just turned into a retirement home? There's a really nice retirement home just south of my house.
Uh-huh.
It's really, really kind of ritzy. It's like, they just turned into a retirement home. So we follow in, and we watch them pull up, and then they stop. Door pops open. No one gets out. So we swing around and orient so we can point our lights at them. And it's like, we realize after a little while, because I call 911, that there's someone hanging out the door. At which point, I go, oh, shit, maybe it's not a drunk driver. Maybe it's a little old lady trying to get home, and she's having a heart attack or a stroke because it's a retirement home. But I get out of the car. I'm on the phone with 911, and no, it's a lady hanging out the door because she is vomited and half passed out.
Oh, jeez.
And her friend that's still in the car is not
helpful.
No, she's just as far gone.
Yeah.
You know, she's still awake, and the lady kind of wakes up. And they know that they can't go. They know that we've caught. I've read off their license plate to the cops. They're not getting anywhere. So police show up, and we get to watch them do the sobriety test and all this other fun stuff. And each lady goes in a different cruiser in cuffs.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, we have to talk to the cops and tell them what we saw. But they're going to jail to sober up.
Wow.
But that's put on, it was already going to be a late night for work. And now it's another hour waiting for the cops to get done, and I'm adrenaline. So needless to say, sleep did not come soon that night.
Yeah.
And it was a very short night because I still had to work in the fucking morning.
Was this like 2 in the morning or something?
By then? By the time I got home, it was 2. I didn't get to bed till 3 because, you know.
Adrenaline.
Yeah. And wound up and just, holy shit, these... They both had club bracelets on.
Uh-huh.
They both had been at a club or a party or something, and they made the dumbass decision to drive home. I hope your fucking DWI fine is steep because an Uber would have been cheaper.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, whatever else, it's fucking cheaper to Uber than it is to...
Well, it's like you see the posters in like bars and stuff where it's like, a drunk driving conviction can cost you $16,000 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, yeah, because fees and impound costs and all this other bullshit that they tack on.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do it, kids.
And then you can't drive for a while, or you can only drive for work reasons, and it's a felony, and it's not good.
What did you do?
I dropped my phone. So, okay, because my car is now back in a workable shape, I've been able to go back to the gym twice now.
Oh.
And I can't stretch my arms out all the way. It hurts.
And you dropped your phone.
And I dropped my phone, and I'm like, no, I must bend over and get my phone, but that means extending my arm fully. Ah! Oh. Not being able to go to the gym for a few months has not done me any favors, and need to get back on track. And to do so means my muscles are like,
fuck you.
I haven't done this in a while. And I'm
fuck
like,
you.
I know, I must continue, though. Ah!
So, should I tell my job interview story today?
I suppose.
Yeah. So, in the world of furry connections, so a couple of years ago, we were guest of honor at OkuCon. That was 2010?
Yeah, a couple. That's 7 years.
Yeah, it's, oh, and just a few back when we were, you know, 7 years younger.
So, and that led me to meeting some of the folks who run OkuCon, like Wolf, Horses, Ghosts, and Blue Otter.
Yep.
Well, I went to a job interview today for an upgraded gig. So if I can land it, it will be really good for me career-wise. And the Dallas market is very incestuous. It is not uncommon to work one tech job, walk into another, and see a coworker for however many years ago. So I'm in the office, and as I'm doing like my final walkout, you know, they're giving me a full tour of the office. This is where everything is. This is our dev group. This is our, you know, this, that, and the other thing.
Which, that surprised me. Just this was something I wanted to ask you earlier, because that's why I asked you if you had gotten a job, because, like, I've never been on an interview before where they've actually given an interviewee, like, a tour of the office and everything. Because that seems like something they do for, like, orientation, like, when they actually hire you.
I've had to do it a couple places. You know, usually it's just a brief once-over, but it was basically, here's security, here's dev, here's testing, here's support, here's our kitchen, you know, just kind of showing off the building. And I'm walking out, and I'm keeping half an eye on the cubes as we were going to see if there was anyone there I know. I even told this to the person who was interviewing. It's like, you know, it's not on, blah, blah, blah. And then as we're about halfway through the loop of the floor, you know, I'm looking down, and I look ahead of me. It's like, wait, is that Blue? What? Yes. Yes, that is. That's Blue freaking Otter walking towards me. And I knew he had moved to Dallas a couple years ago. I knew that he was working in that part of town. And he had told me the name once upon a time, but it didn't stick. I knew it began with like an A. And it was like, so, but it was a name I recognized.
Yeah.
So it didn't stick. But no, there's Blue freaking Otter, and I'm starting to do the finger point of wait a minute, and he's kind of, you know, just kind of oblivious. And then there's something where you kind of notice that something's not quite right, and I just watched his, you know, the dawn is like, the head tilt is like, and then the recognition, and then the hey, arms out, hug, how are you? Oh, this is where you ended up. So what are you doing here, security? What are you, you know, what are you? I'm interviewing, you know, just this whole. You know,
yeah, yeah. Like, you're like, how are you, you big blue furry water
no,
fox?
No, luckily I knew his real name. So I said, so I turned to my interview. If you want someone who could vouch for like some of the projects and such that I can do, here, talk to Blue. Only, you know, real name. So it was just like, wow, I know someone here. I already felt like this went good. Now I have someone here who can actually sing, you know, sell me internally instead of just a staffing firm who's headhunted me.
Yeah.
So, one, I really like Blue Otter. Two, it is nice having someone who can vouch for, you know, like my skills and organization and all this other stuff. Because he's watched us from the ground up grow Fiesta from nothing and all the things that we've done. He may not be as involved with some, but he's at least aware of what goes into a convention.
Yeah, yeah.
And the kind of thing you have to do to make all the pieces work.
Right.
So, yeah. That was my holy crap, this is cool part of today.
It was hella ballin'.
Nice.
So I think we've covered everything on our Google Doc list, right?
Yep. Also, it's apparently the 40th anniversary of Star Wars.
Yay!
Yay!
I thought it was later in August.
Oh. Oh, like, I saw there's, like, maybe, like, the 40th anniversary of them doing an announcement for it.
Now, that might be the case, because I always was, it was, like,
it was
close
like
to my
4th.
Birthday.
Yeah.
No, it's not May 4th. That's May the 4th be with you.
Anyways.
Yeah. So we have a couple of emails.
Yep.
And did you want to stop and save? Or do you
yeah,
wanna...
probably a good
Might
idea.
Might as well.
Okay, sure. And we're back. And I'm going to read this email here. Coming at you with some philosophy, son.
All right.
Yeah. So, a listener wrote in with some philosophical point of view here and included a flow chart. So,
very important.
Bam. My allergies have been driving out, so it's like...
Yeah, there's a couple of people at work right now with sinus infections because their allergies have been kicking their ass.
Oh, I didn't mention what happened to Darren. Don't worry, he's fine. But allergies have been nuts lately, and he's had a cough and, like, leftover con crud and shit. Mm-hmm. He coughed so hard, he pulled a muscle in his side. And then, like, this morning coughed, or yesterday, and it was like... It was like a Charlie horse, except instead of in his calf, it was in the muscle in the side of his body.
Oh, man.
Just agonizing. So today he went to the doctor, and they gave him muscle relaxants and painkillers. No, it was a muscle relaxant and a cough suppressant.
So he wouldn't irritate it some more?
Yeah. So it would give time for the muscle to heal, but... But geez, and like I had an allergy attack a couple weeks ago, and I sneezed so much that I twinged a muscle in my side too, and like it hurt for like 3 days, and like leaning over to one side was painful. But anyway, how did it get off on attention? Oh, allergies, right? Okay, so the subject line is "It's okay." Kant says I can punch Nazis. And that's Kant, that's K-A-N-T. Hi there, Notcast. Since the concept of punching Nazis just keeps coming up with false equivalences being thrown around like condoms at a pride parade, I wanted to see about bringing a bit of a stronger moral argument to the table. Boozy Barrister retweeted an article on the subject, which Savering put link in the show notes, I guess.
Okay.
That basically said... It's not okay because what if racists wanted to punch Black Lives Matter supporters just because they disagreed? Obviously, well,
they want to punch them anyway because they're racist.
That's true. Obviously, that didn't sit well with me, but it did make me wonder whether intolerance of intolerance was still such a moral high ground. I found such higher ground in Kant, a philosopher who really laid the foundation for a lot of contemporary Western philosophy. The critical piece of Kant's categorical imperative is act only according to that maxim whereby you can at the same time will
that it should become a universal law.
Will that it should become a universal law, which is to say your moral principle can't cause a contradiction if we applied it to everyone. It's okay to cheat on a test forms a contradiction because if everyone cheated on a test, there wouldn't be anyone to cheat off of. We can apply this to the notion of tolerance must extend to those who are intolerant to find a contradiction. If we permit Nazis and other intolerant groups to flourish and spread their ideology, then they are free to erode away protections for minorities and eventually grow to where they can force their intolerance on everyone else. Tolerating intolerance becomes a paradox since it leads to intolerance. The same cannot be said for ideas like people should do more to not be assholes to marginalized people, because the closest you get to a paradox there is that eventually you run out of assholes. Oh, fucking no. So once we establish that Nazis and their intolerance is no bueno as a moral principle, we move into the ethics of moral duty. The kingdom of ends formulation can be paraphrased as saying that people have a duty to act in a way that brings us closer to a hypothetical realm of perfect morality. Therefore, reacting to shut down those who would move us away from such a kingdom of ends of tolerance would not just be permissible, but part of one's moral duty. If the end game for Nazis is a forced, quote, removal of minorities they deem beneath them, then punching the ones who try to spread their ideology seems like step one. So yeah, bit of a wall of text, But I wanted to bring an argument to the table that goes beyond Nazis are bad and actually gets into the moral framework behind that. Obviously, none of this applies to people who aren't literal Nazis, and I'm sure there's people already thinking up responses centered around how those meanies on the left are out to dehumanize anyone to the right of Bernie Sanders as evil Nazis. Hell, I've even heard the argument calling right-wingers Nazis is exactly something the Nazis would have done used unironically before. For them, I've included a handy chart, and there's a flowchart here. The box at the top says, do you publicly express that certain races, religions, orientations should be exterminated? If yes, you deserve every fist coming your way. If no, you're not going to get punched for your beliefs. And end of message.
There we go. So, there we go.
We have a Tumblr.
I'll take the Tumblr. Yep. It's like Shiva length. Not casters. In addition to your solid words of advice for the dude who's moving in with his long-distance boyfriend, I got a suggestion. Make sure you have a backup plan for if things go south. Keep savings on hand that you never touch. No friends that you can stay with. You may never need your backup, but you'll be glad to have it if you do. Remember that if you haven't been able to spend a ton of time in person with this dude, you're going to learn things that you can't unlearn with a live-in boyfriend.
Good additional advice.
Yes.
Okay.
The last one is from podcast support from Google.
Yeah.
There's not a name on your feed, but I fixed that shit.
So. Google support writes.
Not everything went to plan during the transition to our new...
It went
very smoothly, but there's a couple things, like the Google Play side of things, that was missing some information or whatever. And so they haven't been able to update it, but we're fixing that so we can get back up on Google Play as well. This way, basically moving Nodcast onto its own hosting with Podbean, it's inexpensive for us and will also help save Fuzz a bunch of money on server costs. And it's just a little bit of a transition period.
It takes time to upload that much yapping.
The available episodes that are on the RSS from like 128... It's like 14, nearly 15 days of audio. The transfer from his server to Podbean took a while, and then processing the audio took a further 18 hours.
Jesus. So, that's a lot of yaps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was a lengthy process. What we're going to also try to do is I need to find the rest of the old episodes, like get everything into an archive. Apparently there's a couple of episodes that are missing in the RSS, like... Episode 226 or something like that can't be downloaded, so I need to find a copy of that somewhere and replace it. So it's like not all episodes exist. And, you know, if we want to keep our entire archive, because, yes, there are people that still want to go back and listen to our early shit-tier episodes.
God help you.
Like, from the single digits. I want to listen to episode zero. No, you don't. It's like... Those episodes are fine that they're gone. Really, I promise.
You're not missing anything.
Those are like back when we were much less enlightened and
we were younger and dumber and
young, full of dumb humor. And yeah. There you go. Yeah. Exactly.
And our lives have changed greatly since then.
We've gotten a lot older and a lot wiser, relatively.
10 years from now, we're going to go back and go, damn, we were
10
dumb.
Years from now, episode 520. Jesus Christ, we're still doing this.
This was the argument I saw against tattoos. Was think of yourself 10 years ago. You 10 years ago was a fucking idiot. Why would you trust that person to put something on your body that would last your entire life?
See, I would still trust 10 year ago me to pick good art. So...
Are you saying that, like, sexy anthro versions of my pony OC is not a good idea to permanently embed it on my body, especially now that I've retired that character?
And
not in a tramp stamp.
Want to see how I got my cutie mark? Just dicks.
We had that discussion for Sarah had an OC, didn't we? It would just be a dick on a butt.
His cutie mark is like a dick going through a ring, and it's just...
Yeah.
Johnny Blowhoof. That's his OC name now. Make sure you tell him.
I'll tell him.
Oh, God.
And it's not just, like, a horse. It's everything else, too, because, you know, they got griffins and shit.
Mm-hmm. I want him to commission that.
No.
Is it your pony OC? So,
while she sends that to Sarah, we're going to wrap up the show, because you're going off to Furlandia.
Johnny. Yeah, I didn't even talk about that.
Yeah, you're going to Furlandia, Fuzz.
Right.
Talk about that real quick.
So, I've never been to Oregon. I've only been to two of the three of the West Coast states. So I'm going to fill that gap, finally. And I realized I haven't been to the Pacific Northwest of this country since, like, 2014. Because I don't think I was at the last year of Rainforest. And so it's been a while since I've been in that part of the country. And I haven't been to Oregon. And I was like, well, fuck, I'd kind of like to go. Also, Furlandia is hosting the Kyoto Awards, which is the Furry Writers Guild Award for, you know, writing excellence in the fandom. And, you know, it's a couple of anthologies and stuff and stories that were in anthologies that we've published have been nominated. And, like, it'd be kind of cool to actually go to one of these award ceremonies and see it. I watched the live stream. If Saffron starts a streaming service, it'll be Fennec live screaming.
Yes.
I watched the live stream last year of the ceremony, and it was fun. And the nice thing about their trophy, quote unquote, they give you a certificate, but they also give you a little plush coyote.
Aww.
If you win. So, like, it has the it's the cutest award trophy. So that's nice. And yeah, there's like four or five panels I want to check out. Foxes and Pepper are going to be there. They're going to do a show. I'm actually going to be on a panel on publishing on Sunday with three other authors. So that'll be fun. I don't have a table or anything. I'm just going up there to hang out, go to panels, chat to writers, and generally de-stress, and then come home and have to throw myself full swing in Anthrocon prep. But
because it is coming.
Yeah. So I'll land up there at about 11 tomorrow, and then I head home sometime Monday. So, you know, if you're in the Portland area or you're going to Furlandia, you know, look me up. I'll be the fat wolf. I know that that doesn't narrow it down much into fandom, but I will put on a fuzz wolf badge. So hopefully that'll help. But,
Sarah replied, "What?
Just what?
Just what?"
So, I'll explain to the pup later.
So that's all I've got to say. Let's just go ahead and do the rundown here. You can write emails to us at notcast@foxstuffers.com. You can go to notcast.com, which takes you to our Tumblr, where you can send in anonymous asks. You can follow the show on Twitter or FA at notcast. We have a Patreon, patreon.com/notcast, if you want to support the show.
Sensing a theme here.
Yeah, I know, right? We're lucky we actually got, because remember when we first started, notcast.com was taken by somebody else. And then they let their domain lapse, and I was able to pick it up like maybe 4 or 5 years ago or something like that. But we didn't have it originally, and you know, yeah, we had the Fox Stuffers address, and like we were used to that and had it forever. But I figured, what the hell, I might as well get the notcast.com while it's available.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I've kept that. If you want to follow me personally, you can go to my Twitter, is @FuzzWolf. If you go to fuzzwolf.com, it actually forwards to an About Me page on my Tumblr that has my contact links and stuff there, just to make it easier. So, on to you guys.
You can follow me on Twitter @SavrinDrake. You can find me on Twitch @Savrin. You can find me on YouTube. Look up Just a Fox. I've been really not been producing much content wise, but for some reason I made those silly little comic. I made some Night in the Woods comic dubs.
Yeah.
Real popular relative. I only got like 7,000 views. Woo. which is pretty good. And I gained a bunch of followers for it. And I'm like, y'all are going to be real disappointed at the rate that I'm producing content at as of late. But okay.
I am Chimera, K-H-Y-M-A-E-R-A on Twitter, because Shiva is always taken everywhere, so I can never get the name. Same thing on Telegram. I'm not really active. I mean, on FA, you can find me at ShivaCat, but that's about it.
Yeah. I mean, I posted two commissions I got recently and got followers that way, and I'm like, I hope you're not expecting too much more, because, you know... I've got a third one coming, though.
Yeah, I post my commissions to FA. I posted a journal recently to say I'm going to Finlandia. So basically exactly what I just said.
Exactly what everybody posts. I'm going to a place.
Yeah. I stopped posting the whole damn meme, though. Because for a while there was that, like, it was like 20 or 25 questions. Some of them really weird. Some of them really creepy. Well, not quite that bad, but there was... like, can I touch you? And most people would answer it, if I know you, you know? Or, you know, can I hug you? Can we go back to your room for personal time? And it's kind of like,
yeah, no.
No.
And the thing is, who the fuck reads journals on FA? Just saying.
Usually artists, people watching artists for, like, announcements.
True.
Of commissions. Yeah, like when you see 10 commission slots available, -full. Because I don't check it often enough. But yeah, I read journals occasionally.
Some of them.
Maybe if it's somebody I know very well, or if somebody makes what sounds like a dramatic sounding thing, like, you know, something bad happened or whatever, and you gotta offer your support. Speaking of which, there was a furry who had posted that their artist partner had has been diagnosed with cancer, and they've put up a GoFundMe, and I tweeted about it, and it looks like within like a couple of days she got like $5,000 or $7,000.
Good.
Or something
they're
like that.
They're gonna need every drop of that.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, GoFundMe, America's number one healthcare. Health insurance plan. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, what's nice is it's only like 8:11 p.m. So
yeah,
you can get home and get to sleep to flap your wings out to the northwest tomorrow.
Flappy bird.
All right. Well,
flap bone. I got a pack. Yeah.
So. Yeah. Well, this gives you times. So on that note, good night.
And medium size to small to large balls?
Whatever balls you prefer.
You know, we will accept all balls. Into Saffron's mouth.